Hi, this is Sima, grateful compulsive overeater living in recovery. Happy to be here tonight. And I will share this my story of OA and recovery in OA. I came to OA when I was, well, in 1975. So that was a while ago. And my compulsive overeating started when I was a teenager. I was home from school more than I was in school, and I spent all the extra time eating until my mother got home. So that's when I started gaining weight, and I didn't realize I was a compulsive overeater at the time. But after I finished high school, I went to work and I gained more weight because they had coffee carts that came around morning and afternoon. And of course, I was partaking of it. And the one big hole in my life was that I wanted to have a boyfriend. So I started a diet and I lost the weight. I was very successful. And but the boyfriend on the white horse didn't come along. A lot of dark horses came along instead. And I was very disillusioned, so I would do gain all the weight back very rapidly by binging. I didn't know what binging was. I just knew that I would eat nonstop, gain the weight back, be very disillusioned, and it would take me a long time before I would even try again. That happened several times, and I was very depressed, not just about the weight, but just in general. I had a depression, which later on I found out I needed some medication for, but at that time I didn't know. And a woman that I worked with said, "You should go to therapy." And I started going to therapy, and the same thing happened. I lost weight, and then I would gain it all back. And at that point, after I was with the therapist a couple of years, I said, "I know I'm about to gain it back again. I don't know what to do." And she told me about OA. And I was so excited because I had heard of AA, but I never knew there was such a thing as OA. And I found a meeting and I went right away to the meeting. And I was already thin because I had, been successful on my diet. So I went into the room and it was in Manhattan. And all I remember is they said at the to get a food plan, there was a gray sheet and an orange sheet. And I went over to a thin woman and I asked her to be my sponsor. And she said, "Pick one of these food plans, write down what you're going to eat, and call me and tell me." So I was a little baffled because I knew I could do that, and I was willing to do it, but I didn't see how that was going to help me because I knew how to follow a food plan. Anyway, a week went by. I went to a different meeting. Nobody was there. And then a woman that I met outside of the meeting told me about a man that was going to be speaking about step nine. And she had a sponsor, and her sponsor told her to go to that meeting. She didn't go to that meeting, but I did. And the man who spoke was a seasoned AA member who was now in OA. And he talked about it was a step nine meeting. And I guess some of you know about the step nine promises in the big book. And when I heard that, I was like, "That's what I want. That's what I want." And I kind of followed this guy around, and he said he was going to start big book workshops. So he did. And they were open to anyone that wanted to learn the 12 steps. But I became like a junkie with the meetings, and we would record the meetings and, on these cassette players that they had in those days. And but I was binging by then, and I kept saying, "Jim, I don't know what to do." And he said, "The program will override the problem." I didn't know what that meant, but I found out about this liquid protein diet that was administered by a doctor. And I wasn't willing to go on any other food plans. So I went on that, even though everybody said that's not a food plan. All I had was had liquid protein 5 times a day. But I said, "Well, according to OA, it's not my own food plan and it's administered by a doctor." So I have my own willfulness, and I did that, and at the same time, I went to the meetings, and I had a lot of time. We were in small groups. And in addition to the meetings, some of us were in these groups that we met once a week and discussed our stories and got feedback. And he died after 2 years, and the group around us kind of fizzled out. And when I used to go to regular OA meetings too. This was all in Manhattan. But outside of his meetings, nobody was talking about this program, the steps. I don't even remember what they were talking about because it was so long ago. But I went back to binging, and that happened a couple of times over the next year. Things had happened. My job moved out of town, and I was supposed to go, but then I didn't go, and I was moving back. I moved back with my mother, and I just ate and ate and ate. I ate so much that people thought I was pregnant. They gave me a seat on the subway, and then I got this crazy idea. I went to this concert in Prospect Park in Brooklyn, and there was this bunch of hippies from Tennessee, and they were going to start a commune. And I thought, well, maybe that's what I should do. I'll join the commune, and that'll take care of my eating problem. Well, I didn't, and it wouldn't have anyway. And I was recommended to another therapist who worked with drug addicts, and he scared me straight, I should say. He told me that I had to get a job because I was on unemployment and living at my mother's house. My apartment was sublet. I had to go back to OA, and I had to move back to my apartment. And he was very rigid in the way he spoke to me. And he said, "And call me tomorrow at 11 o'clock or whatever time it was, and tell me what you've done." So I did it. I did everything he said, and I was back in my apartment, and I had a job, and I was abstinent in OA for quite a long time. During that time, I met my husband. We got married. I moved to Queens. So I wasn't in my New York meetings anymore. Started going to Queens meetings once a week, and that was very different. They had these assignments, and you would do the assignments, and then you were supposed to be a qualified sponsor after you did these 30 assignments. But I wasn't recovered. I went back to eating again because that wasn't the program. It just wasn't. And for years I floundered around, abstinent for a while, not abstinent for a while, never going on the same food plan twice. I had all different kinds of sponsors. One that said you could eat dessert once in a while. Just any kind of sponsor. I heard stories of people that were one religion and then they became another religion. And it just, eventually I just stopped going because I couldn't put the food down without going back up again. And now I was really disillusioned because I was in OA. So for a number of years, I don't know how many, I didn't go back to OA. And then 13 years ago, when I was at, my weight would just go up and down five sizes. And 13 years ago, I came back to OA because I was so disgusted with the way I felt. It was going into summer again, and I was at one of the high weights, and I knew that I was going to be suffering from the chafing and the uncomfortable part of having extra weight and flab and whatever. And I just felt so hopeless. And it was like God came to me and said, "Go back to OA." And I was like, "Oh, I didn't even think of that." So I was living in New Jersey then, and I quickly looked up a meeting, and there was a meeting right in my town. And I ran to the meeting, and I was very cautious because I was, if what was it going to be different this time? I was afraid. I approached the food plan differently. I wasn't rigid before. Every time I had been rigid, if I went off a little bit, I would go all the way off. So I knew what to eat. I'm not a, I wasn't a moron. I knew what to eat and what not to eat. And the second meeting, somebody told me about a telephone meeting called A Vision for You. And I went on the meeting and I was really blown away because there were people, there was, it was all strictly big book. And they would read one sentence and then everybody would share on that one sentence. And the meeting was recorded. And I was just, this was the big book that I had heard about, well, those years before when I first came in from that man that had passed away. And I just felt renewed and rejuvenated, and I felt committed. And I had a sponsor, not from that group, but from another group. But I met actually at Idea Day in November. She shared at the meeting, and I said, "Oh, that's a woman I can really identify with." And she's still my sponsor today. But I was very nervous because I had never had more than 14 months of abstinence without going back to the food. And but there I was, a day at a time, a week at a time, maintaining, lost weight. A year went by, but I was like, well, I'm not taking anything for granted. I've been done a year before. And then 2 years went by. And now it's 13 years, a day at a time. I began doing service. I joined into group. I've been and once I was an intergroup, they needed a secretary, recording secretary. So I became a recording secretary for, I don't know, a number of years. And then I became a region rep, region seven rep. I did that for a couple of years. And then a couple of years ago, I actually became a world service rep and went to Albuquerque. And that was quite an experience. I have sponsees. I still have the same sponsor. I work the program. I still go to the Vision for You meetings, but I go to a lot of other meetings too. Since Zoom came around, I go to a lot of more meetings than I ever did before, and I'm grateful to have them. I'm retired, so I don't have a job to go to, and I go to about five meetings a week. I do service when I'm asked, and I was asked to speak tonight. I work the steps. I live the steps. I share the steps. I use the steps for other things other than food. I use them for my emotions. I say, I'm powerless over this anger that I'm feeling. And I believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. And then I turn my will and my life over to my higher power. And then I inventory the resentment or whatever it is that's going on at the time, going through the basic same steps, the four, five, six, seven, eight, and nine. And that's what I tell my sponsees. I have this 10-step emergency sheet that I wrote up for them. I have the whole instructions on one sheet of paper. I tell them whatever's bothering you, if pausing and praying doesn't get rid of it in 5 minutes, then you better do the emergency sheet because the binge starts with the unchecked emotions. And it's amazing the program works. I never had any instructions on life. My parents were divorced. My mother was a teacher, but she didn't really give me any instructions. Education was important. But as far as relationships went, I was pretty isolated because she was isolated, and I didn't know how to have relationships. My idea of what it was like would be from the movies or the television. And you don't develop healthy relationships like that. So I had been in and out of therapy. I had been diagnosed as a bipolar disorder. So I started taking medication back in 2006, but I didn't come back to OA until 2013. And now, with the medication and with the steps and with sanity, I'm here with you tonight. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you very much.